We believe the Lord is glorified when we worship Him. We believe that God is after those who are true worshipers, those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. As we continue in this worship service, we are going to meditate on the scriptures through the series that we have been following for the past few months now, which is called the Bible series. It's very important for us to meditate on God's word systematically, to understand the purposes of God, to understand the whole counsel of God, whole purpose or the whole will of God, in other words. That is why Paul the Apostle said, I did not refrain from declaring the whole counsel of God when he was mentioning in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. We are currently in the book of Numbers, and God willing, we will conclude the book of Numbers today. As the sermon notes are being passed along, may we ask the Lord to speak to us through His living word. Just a moment of silence to be able to set ourselves away from the distractions in our minds and in our hearts that surround us, that God may enable us to focus our attention on the living word. Father God, we pray that You may speak to us. Lord, there are so many things that are happening in our lives, but right now, our focus and attention is upon You, Lord. Speak, Lord. Enable us, Father, to be able to be attentive to Your word. Help us not to get distracted in any way. If there are any things that are going to cause distraction, help us to shut them off. Help us to shut them off completely. Not even in a silent mode, but to shut them out if they are distracting us, so that we can fully concentrate on the living word of God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As we look into the scriptures, let us read the theme or the key verse for today from Book of Numbers chapter 26. Book of Numbers chapter 26, verses 63 and 64. Altogether, please join with me as we read these two verses loud and clear. Altogether, please. These are those who were numbered by Moses and Eleazar, the priest, who numbered the sons of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. But among these, there were not a man of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron, the priest, who numbered the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. I have highlighted the word that is repeatedly used in these two verses, and that word is numbered. And now you know why this book is called the Book of Numbers, because there were two major counting that has happened. Two major countings. Verse 63 is one set of counting, and 64 was another set of counting. If you do not have your Bibles in hand, please let us know. Please raise your hand. We will pass on a Bible to you. You need to have the Bible open so that you can have a better concentration on the living Word of God. When you see the Word of God, when you hear the Word of God, it will have a double impact, and it will enable you not to get distracted here and there. So request each one of you, if possible, to have your Bibles in hand. Just to give you a background again from the Book of Numbers, the Book of Numbers starts at the point where the book of Exodus stopped. Book of Exodus was from Egypt to Sinai, and Book of Numbers is from Sinai to plains of Moab at the border of the Jordan River. So Book of Numbers at a high level can be divided into three major portions. The first 12 verses is walking in the wilderness. And after from chapter 13 to chapter 25 is wandering in the wilderness. And then from chapter 26 to 36, which we are going to meditate upon, is waiting. Walking, wandering, and waiting. Interestingly, it is important for us to understand this. We were singing the song during the worship time as well, especially the last song, where the songwriter says, letting go of every single dream, I lay each down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I try to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary. I need your rest, mighty warrior, king of the fight. No matter what I face, you are by my side. No matter what I face, you are by my side. And I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Each moment of my wandering, each moment of my wandering never changes what you see. And that is what we are going to meditate upon today as we focus our attention on this scriptural portion from the book of Numbers. Today we are going to pick up from where we stopped, and that is the book of Numbers chapter 26. Please turn our Bibles to the book of Numbers chapter 26. So in this particular book, chapter 26 talks about something that you and I need to be able to learn here, which is the first thing, please note it down, listing. The first part that we are going to meditate from the book of Numbers chapter 26 is listing. Listing, please note down the first bullet under that, is second census. Second census. So here we see a story here where it says in verse 1, then it came about after the plague. If you want to read what happened in the plague, chapter 25, there are a lot of people who died because of the way in which they were committing sin in Moab with the Midianites. Midianites and Moabites were seducing these people, the sons of Israel, and God did not bear this, and he sent a plague and many people died. And then Phinehas was the one who rose up during that time, and we meditated upon it last week. So we are picking up from that particular one, verse 1, that it came about after the plague that the Lord spoke to Moses and Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saying, take a census of all the congregation of the sons of Israel from 20 years old and upward by their father's household, whoever is able to go out to war in Israel. So they had a second census. We have titled the sermon, today's sermon, as Numbers Preparing a New Generation. The first 12 chapters of Numbers is talking about an old generation. From 13 to 25 talks about a transition during the wandering time where the old generation is being transitioned. And chapter 26 onwards, it is talking about totally a new generation. So the people who came out of the land of Egypt were one set of people. If you read Numbers chapter 1, Numbers chapter 2, it talks about the counting of the people who came out of the land of Egypt. And there were around 600,000 people. If you read Numbers chapter 2, it talks about it. Now, after 40 years that have passed by, the people who came out of the land of Egypt, above the age of 20, all of them died. And there's a new generation came out. A newness, a freshness that has come up. God always wants to bring out freshness from his people. A newness from his people. And so a new generation came out. And God wanted them to count these people once again. That is why it's called the book of Numbers. So we see here, again, they take a census. When they take a census, in this particular chapter, I'm not going to read all the verses. If you have your time, you can see through it. I counted the numbers here from each tribe. The word of God talks about certain number of people from Reuben, 43,730, and from Simeon, 22,200. And all of these, when they get added up, by the way, I added them. I took an Excel and tried to add all the numbers of each of these tribes. We do so much in your job. You do a lot of counting, etc. Why don't you do that from the book of Numbers, especially when we read Numbers? It's all about numbers. And let me tell you, it was exactly the count that is mentioned in verse 51. When I counted all the tribes, the word of God is mathematically accurate. Verse 51. These are those who were numbered of the sons of Israel, 601,730, period. God is concerned about every person. One just cannot say that, okay, big deal, one person out, we don't need to count all of them. No, everyone is counted into the family of God. Even if it is one down, God is after that person. When there are 100 sheep and one sheep is lost, God goes after that one. He just won't say 99. It's enough. Just one, right? 1% we can get rid of. No. Even that 1% God is after. That is what the significance of numbers is. God is after numbers. God is after the number of people who are in his fold. He keeps a count of everyone. Every person is unique. You are counted, my dear. You are part of the count when you are in the family of God. And when he counted, this was the number that came out. And then we see there are another count, the number of Levites in verse 62. They were numbered 23,000. Very close to the numbers that were there when people came out of the land of Egypt. Now the people who are going to enter into the land of Canaan are equivalently, if you see, around 600,000 people. And that is where we pick up verses 63 and 64. When I was reading through it, it really made my heart to consider here. The number of people who were counted, verse 64, but among these there was not a man of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron, who numbered the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. God wants to be able to bring out freshness and newness in such a manner that there is nothing that is there from the past, except if you read in verse 65. Notice this carefully. Shall we all read this verse 65? Numbers 26, 65. For the Lord had said to them, they shall surely die in the wilderness, and not a man was left of them except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Except two people. The only people that came out of the land of Egypt that were going into the land of Canaan were only two people. Please note it down. The listing, in that particular listing, not only the second census of 601,730 people, but also Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua. These were the two people out of the 12 spies that were sent to spy the land of Canaan. Out of the 12 people, there were only two people who were optimistic of the promised land. They said, even though there are giants there, we have a God who will help us overcome them. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Let us go. And the people did not listen. And that is why they perished in the wilderness, except for two people who came out. God is looking after those people who believe in the promises of God, who believe in the promised land that God has given. So please note it down. These are the two things in terms of listing. And then we will get into the second portion, which is leadership. First, listing, then leadership. Chapters 27 and 31. I'm trying to combine these two in order to be able to understand certain things. We'll pick up in chapter 27, verse 12 onwards. Notice this carefully. Preparing a new generation, God started by listing the people. And now he's talking about the leadership for those people as well. In verse 12 of chapter 27, please join with me in understanding the story here. Then the Lord said to Moses, go up to this mountain of Abarim and see the land which I have given to the sons of Israel. Go up to this mountain of Abarim. Mountain of Abarim is also called Mount Nebo. Later we will see that. But in this particular one, you might not see the word Nebo, but it is Mount Nebo. Go up to this mountain of Abarim and see the land which I have given to the sons of Israel. When you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother was. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to treat me as holy there before their eyes at the water. These are the waters of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. God reminded Moses, the man of God, who at the age of 40, he came into the wilderness by himself and spent 40 days in the wilderness preparing himself and then going into the land of Egypt and leading the people all the way from Egypt till the border of Jordan River. And during the entire period of time, there was one incident, just one, out of so many years, just one, just small incident, Lord. God cares. God is concerned about certain things that happen in our lives, especially when we disobey the commandment of God. You rebelled against my command. What was it? God said, speak to the rock. And he struck the rock twice. More than the action, it was the attitude of Moses. He thought, last time I struck the rock, big deal. I'm so angry with these people. Enough of leading these people for so many years. God told me to speak to the rock, but I'm going to strike the rock twice. I'm going to show forth my leadership, or whatever was the attitude in which Moses was during that time, with so much of pressure that he was going through in his life. He lost a blessing of being able to enter into the land of Canaan. One of the blessings of God in terms of obedience to God's command is to be able to see what and be able to experience what God wants us to give. Moses is an example where God clearly told, you get onto the Mount Nebo, all you will be able to do is see Mount Nebo, that's all. You cannot enter. When I was meditating on this character of Moses, being a leader, trying to do the best that he could, he still faltered in certain things and he missed on certain blessings of God, and one of which is to enter into the promised land physically. Later we will notice the blessings for Moses at a later point of time, but at this point of time, all he was given was as a leader of the old generation, his time was come for him to depart. You will be gathered to your people when you have seen it. That's what God said. Moses just accepted the will of God. He understood his shortcoming and he understood, he accepted the will of God. You know what he said? Moses, as a man of God, he had a concern for the people of God. When God said all of it, you know the response of Moses in verse 15. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, may the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation. Yes, Lord. I understand all these years I have brought these people. You have enabled me to lead these people in spite of grumblings and complainings of this set of people. You have enabled me to lead these people till this borderland. Now, they need to have a leadership going forward. They need a second level leadership, Lord. We just can't leave these people just like that. I'll be departing from this world, but you appoint a leader. Appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them, who will lead them out and bring them in. That is the way God intended. Somebody, though everyone are equal in the sight of God, there are certain people God has given a more higher accountability and responsibility to lead them out and bring them in. That is what a leadership is, though it should be a servant leadership, not a bossing leadership, but it is a leading. According to God's guidance, to be able to lead his people, leadership, it is called second level leadership. For each generation, God raises up leaders in order to be able to take care of his people. And Moses had that concern. After his death, who is going to take up the leadership? Till his death, Moses was the leader, no doubt about it. But he said, Lord, prepare a person who will go out and come in, who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord will not be like sheep which have no shepherd. So that the congregation will not be like a sheep without a shepherd. When I saw this phrase, there are many nowadays. The so-called churches are local churches. They want to be able to start off a church, but they don't have a shepherd to take care. They ask, okay, you come this Sunday, you come that Sunday, you come this Sunday. We need somebody to share God's word. Where? What happened to the local leadership? I remember there were some people who clearly told me once, brother, we are like sheep without a shepherd. We keep on asking people to come every Sunday. My heart was so much, Lord, how come this started off without a shepherd leading?
God has assigned. He's a great shepherd. He's a chief shepherd, no doubt about it. But God has assigned certain shepherds to take care of the flock. Moses was concerned. He was like a shepherd to the people all these 40 years. But when he knew that he was going to leave this world, he was talking to God with a burden, saying, this congregation should not be like sheep without a shepherd. There are many churches or so-called denominations. The first generation is wonderful under the leadership of the one who founded it. But after that, there is no proper second level leadership. How many times I keep hearing, brother, there is no second level leadership in that congregation, they say. Why? Because they did not prepare the next level leadership. Second level leadership. Moses was concerned. Because the moment that person dies, what will happen to the church? What will happen to the local church? It cannot just get scattered out. It has to be held in such a manner that it continues on and on like a shepherd. Otherwise, they'll be like sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus came into this world, keep your finger here. Let us open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Somebody, could you please read it loud and clear? Matthew chapter 9 verse 36. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus came into this world, he saw these people. These people, he had compassion towards them because they were distressed. They were so discouraged, distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. How many times we keep hearing about people who try to go to church and they come out of the church still hungry for the word of God. It's like going to a restaurant and after coming out of the restaurant, you still feel hungry and say, where is a McDonald's nearby? I'm still hungry. That is not what the purpose of the local church is. The local church should be able to feed the sheep in such a manner that they are fully fed and prepared to go out and face the world ahead of them. That is what the purpose of the local church is. That is what the purpose of the shepherd is. Otherwise, there will be like a sheep without a shepherd. It is not just running it for the sake of running it and us keeping on. Somebody to be able to really care, to be able to know that this is what I need to learn. This is what I need to be fed with like a sheep. People all come with hungry hearts, hungry souls. Are we feeding the sheep of God? It is the responsibility that God has given to take care of the sheep God has given. In the same Acts chapter 20 that we were referring to the whole counsel of God, I just get reminded of this and I wanted to share with you. Verse 20, Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. This is what the theme for this Bible series is. It says, Acts chapter 20 verse 27. Paul the apostle says, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God or the whole counsel of God. That is the theme. And then he says in verse 28, the Lord had spoken to me when I was being called to his ministry through one of these verses, and this particular verse in verse 28. Be on guard for yourself and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Be on guard for the flock which Holy Spirit has made you overseer to shepherd the church of God. If there is no shepherd to be able to take care of the flock of God, the flock will get scattered. The sheep will be still hungry. That is what it is. The leadership is so essential to be able to take it forward. Take it forward. And that is so essential, my dear brothers and sisters. When we go back to Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. Moses had a concern as a shepherd of the flock that God had given him, to be able to pray to God that God would appoint a man over the congregation. Verse 16. That God would appoint a man over the congregation. Verse 18. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit.
lay your hand on him and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and commission him in their sight. It is not about election. Oh, voting. Okay, how many people? Oh, this person, according to the voting, this person becomes the leader. No, it is God's appointment, my dear. God's appointment. God said, Moses said, God, you appoint a leader. And God told to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun. And verse 20, you shall put some of your authority on him in order that the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him. Moses was still a leader. There was going to be a time when he is going to be gathered to his people or he's going to die. And then we see here, verse 22, Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. And he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. This is the second level leadership. This is what a biblical way of passing on the mantle towards the next level leadership. We see two sets of people here. Please note it down. Aaron to Eleazar. And Moses to Joshua. Aaron to Eleazar. I know we have been through it, but just want to refer to this. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Verse 25. Take Aaron and his son Eleazar and bring him up at Mount Hor and strip Aaron of his garments and put them on his son Eleazar. So Aaron will be gathered to his people and will die there. Moses did according to the labor. According to the commandment of the Lord. And then we see here that after Aaron was Eleazar, the priest. And after Moses was Joshua, the leader. See how God has planned. It's not always hereditary. It is not always hereditary. In Aaron's case, it was. But Moses' case, it was not. God's appointment is according to his will. Who should be the next leader is according to his will. And he will appoint his people to be the next leaders, to be able to take it on. It is not like, oh, during Moses' time, leadership was like this. But this new leadership, no, God, when he intends, he will make sure that he will pass on the baton or the mantle of leadership. Just like it was passed on from Elijah to Elisha. Similarly, it went on from Aaron to Eleazar, Moses to Joshua. Thirdly, first listing, then leadership. Chapter 31 also, Numbers 31. Let us look at that. Numbers 31, as I think I was mentioning about this. This is at a very high level. I'll give you a picture of this. The Lord said to Moses, saying, verse 1 and verse 2, take full vengeance for the sons of Israel on the Midianites. Afterward, you will be gathered to your people. This is going to be his final victory. Moses, having gone through so much, God gave him one more victory. And he said, go destroy the people of Midianites. Afterward, you will be gathered to your people. Why? Because these Midianites were the cause for the way in which the sons of Israel committed sin in Numbers chapter 25. Along with the people of Moab, the Midianites joined together and seduced the sons of Israel. And God wanted to make sure that these people of Midianites are completely destroyed. Something very important for us to learn here, that when God tells us to be victorious over the enemies or the temptations or the challenges in our lives, we need to completely destroy, completely devoted to destruction. And if we keep some, what will happen is it will come back to us. And that is very important for us to be able to learn from these particular stories that we see here, that God wanted them to give the final victory to Moses. While he was at the border of the Jordan River, he was going to look at the land of Canaan. God gave him one last opportunity to be able to be the leader of these people, Moses, to be able to be the leader to win over the people of Midianites. Let's move on. Let's move on to the third point here, the loss, L-A-W-S. Chapters 28, 29, and 30. A little portion of 27 also, the first half of 27 also talks about some loss. What are these laws? For the new generation, God listed the new generation and have identified only two people from the old generation to join with the new generation. And he gave a leadership responsibilities for the new generation, which would be Eleazar and Joshua. And then he gave the laws to be able to reiterate what they should do when they enter into the new land that God is going to give them, the promised land. And please note it down, the two things that that are going to be mentioned here, which is offerings and vows and inheritance for daughters. Offerings and vows and inheritance for the daughters. There are certain set of people here. God was telling, okay, you're going to have this inheritance of this land, the sons of Israel, sons of Reuben, sons of Simeon, sons of Gad, sons. Everywhere sons. And suddenly, from the tribe of Manasseh, there were only daughters of Zelophehad. Then they come and say, we have daughters. What is going to happen to us? We don't have sons, we have daughters. What are we going to do? Let me tell you, God has his plan towards his daughters as well. Something very important to understand, my dear daughters here. The daughters of God. God has kept an inheritance for the daughters as well. Moses went and spoke to God in Numbers chapter 27. They say that what? Everyone, they're getting their inheritance. How about the sons? God clearly tells them that you will have an inheritance. That is the greatness of our God, that he won't just keep on saying, yes, he was mentioning about the sons of Israel, etc. But when it comes to the blessings of God, the inheritance that is going to be given to the children, even daughters are also given importance. And that is what we see in Numbers chapter 27. First verse onwards, daughters of Zelophehad. And also we see later on in Numbers chapter 36, how God provided to the daughters of Zelophehad in terms of the land that is going to be given to them as well. And later we see in chapters 28, 29, and 30, it talks about the various offerings, daily offerings. On the seventh day, on the Sabbath day, what kind of offerings? And then beginning of each month, what kind of offerings? And the first day, 14th day of the first month, the Passover offering, and the Feast of the Weeks. It was reiterated to this new generation as to how they should be able to continuously remember God. These offerings and vows talk about their dependency on God and their connection with God. That is why we keep on encouraging each one to be part of worshiping the Lord. You offer unto God, not always receiving from God. You offer unto God. Offerings are giving to God. What is preventing us from worshiping our God? What is preventing us from being able to offer unto God? God is preparing a new generation so that they may offer unto God. The new generation or New Testament way of offering unto God is the sacrifice of our praises. That is so essential. Do you worship God? Can you worship God as a congregation? What is preventing you from being able to join with the congregation in worshiping God? How wonderful it will be at the first 5 minutes of the start of the worship service to have the people come then and say, Lord, I want to offer unto you. Lord, I offer unto you. Yes, we want to receive God's word, no doubt about it. But are you a people who offer unto God? I want to encourage each one of us to be those people who offer unto God. When we offer unto God, that is when we can receive from God. If you are people with empty hands, without offering unto God, and keep on asking God, God will say, what happened to your offerings? So it's very essential, my dear brothers and sisters, to be able to offer unto God. So listing, leadership, laws, and finally, please note it down, land. Numbers chapter 34 to 36. All talking about the land as such. Numbers chapter 32 talks about certain tribes here. Please note it down. You can note down in your 2.5 tribes in the east. 2.5 tribes in the east. I'll tell you what exactly we are talking about. There are 2.5 tribes that were speaking to Moses now. They were on the east side of the Jordan River. I'll show you a picture after that to be able to understand what I'm talking about. If you remember in the previous weeks also, I was showing you the promised land and the land which God has promised them to be able to go all the way crossing the Jordan River to enter into the Canaan. So we see here the 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and a half tribe of Manasseh. They come to Moses. We start off with Reuben and Gad in verse 1. And they had an exceedingly large number of livestock. So each tribe is not equal in number. Each tribe is different in the count. If you see the counts in the census, certain tribes were bigger in number. So they had larger number of people. Automatically, they have larger number of cattle, etc. So the moment they were stationed at the border of the Jordan River, when they had the exceedingly large number of livestock, when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that it was indeed a place suitable for livestock, the sons of Gad, sons of Reuben, came and spoke to Moses and to Eleazar the priest and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, "All this land which we have conquered, if we have found favor in your sight," in verse 5, "we'd like to take the east side of the Jordan River." But Moses said, "Come on, we are going to cross the Jordan River. We need to go occupy the promised land. You just can't settle down here." But under the condition that everyone who is 20 plus years old, who are ready for war, to join along with the other tribes, come along. You can leave your livestock, you can leave your women and children, but if you are going to commit to come along with your brothers to cross the Jordan River to occupy the land, then I will let you have the land of the east. So we see here that in all this, he talks about certain things. He reminds, don't just stay over. You know, we have come all the way together. And right at the border, you just don't give up. It's not good. We were so unitedly coming all the way 40 years we've been coming together as the tribes of Israel. Now at this particular moment of time, don't leave us. So what we see here is, Moses keeps explaining to them what has happened. The same thing happened. Out of the 12 tribes representatives, 10 of the representatives gave a bad report. Two tribes gave good report. See how terrible the situations have happened. You don't want to bring anger to God once again and start over another wandering in the wilderness. So Moses says, you do one thing. Verse 15. "For if you turn away from following him, he will once more abandon you in the wilderness and you will destroy all these people." So what happened is, the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and the half tribe of Manasseh, they say, "Of course, we will come. We will leave our livestock, our women and children on the east side, but we will go along with our brothers. We will fight against the enemies together." And so wonderfully, they say that we will go along with you. And that is what really made me recognize here, that though they are not going to occupy that land on the west side, because they are going to take the land of the east, they still went along with their brothers, fighting against the enemies to help the brothers occupy the land. That is where we see the unity. That is where we see the unity. So that is why we see here that in this particular picture that is there, the next slide. Remember last time also I showed you, this is the green part is the promised land that they are supposed to occupy. But they were here. Remember the Sihon, Og, Bashan and all these places. So they were here. They were here at this border.
And suddenly they say, we want to occupy this land of Gilead. This land is called Gilead. So we see East Manasseh, which is half of the Manasseh tribe, Gad and Reuben, they occupy the east side of the Jordan River. The two and a half tribe, East Manasseh. There's going to be West Manasseh also. So that is how they go occupy the Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. They occupy this land. But those who are above 20 years old, ready for war, they cross the Jordan River in order to be able to occupy the land. Something to be able to really understand here. And that is what we see in Numbers chapter 32. And then we also see something that is mentioned in chapter 33. Chapter 33, it talks about the review of the entire journey. This is like a summary, if I may. Summary, remember this particular map that I showed? If you read through this, every point where they have camped, where they have gone through, everything is mentioned from Egypt to the plains of Moab. From Egypt, you see here, from Egypt, they go all the way down and then they go to Kadesh Barnea. And from Kadesh Barnea, they go all the way down again to the Moab, the plains of Moab. If you read chapter 33, it gives you the portion of it. And that is something interesting. First 15 verses talks about Egypt to Sinai. And then from 16, we see they move from Sinai to Kadesh. Barnea. So from verse 16 to 36 talks about the travel from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, and then from verse 37 onwards to 49, from 37 to 49 is from Kadesh Barnea all the way to Moab. And wonderfully, these are all things that were recorded journey. It took them 40 years altogether. But as a review of the journey from Egypt to Jordan, is what is mentioned in chapter 33. You can read through it and try to understand how God was with them throughout their journeys. Every journey point they had the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night all through the 40 years. They had manna all through the 40 years. And we're going to see all of that later in the book of Deuteronomy as well. So please note it down. Under the second bullet, under land, it talks about how to occupy their land, the border of the promised land, and also the cities of refuge. The cities of refuge in chapter 35. It talks about the cities of refuge, how as to if there are any situations in your in what is happening in your life, God has kept the a certain cities of refuge. We are going to focus more on it at a later point of time, but God's intentions are amazing. He said, now that there are people on the east as well as people on the west, there will be three cities on the east, three cities on the west, total six cities of refuge. Because there are going to be people on the east side also, there will be three cities. And that is how God has planned to be able to have the cities of refuge. If there are any situations where you are going through some situations where you need refuge, God is our refuge and strength. But at the same time, you can go to a place where you can have refuge as well. Verse 14 of 35, Numbers chapter 35 and verse 14. You shall give three cities across the Jordan and three cities in the land of Canaan. They are to be the cities of refuge. We are going to meditate what those cities are at a later point of time. And when somebody goes through some kind of a punishment, they can go to the city of refuge and they'll be able to be taken care of and they will be comforted, they will be pardoned, and they'll be given refuge as well. And that is what is mentioned in chapter 35. And finally, Numbers chapter 36 is once again talking about the inheritance of land, especially for the daughters of Zelophehad. Chapter 36 talks about it. How the daughters of Zelophehad are, they are going to have land of their own. Daughters, God has a plan for the daughters as well. And that is what we can see here as to how God gave inheritance to the daughters as well, along with the sons of Israel. And God has a plan in all of this, and that is how it ends. Wonderful way of ending this particular book
focusing on the daughters as well. Throughout the history, we see about sons, but the way it ends is to be able to provide the land for the daughters as well. In all this, what can we learn? How can we understand the whole counsel of God? First thing that you and I should be able to understand is God is preparing a new generation to enter into the promised land. He wants to take away the oldness, old things to be passed away, and behold, everything has become new. A new generation to be able to enter into. But there are only two people from the old generation who joined along with the new generation to be able to pass it along. Remember, they may be of the old generation, but there was something unique about the old generation. And my desire and prayer is to be like those two people of the old generation. There is one verse, actually two verses together, that Moses talks about. And I wanted to ask us to be able to look at that one. Please join with me in reading Numbers chapter 32, verses 11 and 12. From the same portion that we have read, Moses tells these 2.5 tribes. When he was telling these 2.5 tribes, there is one small portion of it that caught my attention. And I thought we should take this as a take home from all that we have read about those two people from the old generation who entered along with the new generation. Please join with me in reading Numbers chapter 32, verses 11 and 12. All together, please. None of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, for they did not follow me fully, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have followed the Lord fully. That is what made those two people from old generation to join with the new generation to experience the blessings of God, the promised land. What was it? What was the distinguishing factor of these two people, Caleb and Joshua? They followed the Lord fully. Wholly. Total following. Completely following the Lord. Not following the Lord partially. Not following the Lord as needed. Not following the Lord based on our whims and fancies to be able to say that, okay, for this one I'll follow the Lord. For this one I will make my own decisions. No! God is after those people who follow Him fully. If at all you can take home something based on what we have learned from the book of Numbers, is that we need to follow the Lord fully. And one more thing that comes to my attention regarding what we can learn is we have a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. Our leaders may leave us, but God will never leave us. God will take care of His people. He will appoint shepherds to take care of His sheep. In the book of John, Gospel according to John, chapter 14, 15, and 16, God, Jesus Christ, has a very close conversation with His disciples. In all the three chapters, I want us to look at few verses, and maybe I'll just read it out in the interest of time. Jesus says in John chapter 14, I'm leaving you. I go prepare a place for you. I'm leaving you. And immediately the disciples say, they get afraid. They get distressed. Jesus, you're leaving us? What will happen to us now? You have given us so much. Now you're leaving? If you're leaving, what will happen to us? At that point of time, Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Jesus is leaving, but He will not leave you. He will give you His Holy Spirit to be with you forever. John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus says, when the helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And again in John chapter 16 and verse 7, John chapter 16 and verse 7, Jesus says, but I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Moses left. Moses was leaving. The people of Israel might have thought, now already we are so much, now the leader is going away, now what? I tell you, God prepared a Joshua in the place of Moses. God prepared his Holy Spirit in the place of Jesus Christ's physical absence from the disciples. God gives better things. That is what the leadership is. We need the Holy Spirit of God to be our leader, who is with us constantly. He will be our shepherd. He will teach us. While there will be physically, God will appoint shepherds to take care of the flock as well. God will use the shepherds. Let the Holy Spirit of God speak to his people through the shepherds of God. How important it is to be able to have a shepherd for the sheep. Otherwise, we will be scattered. We need proper leading through the Holy Spirit of God to guide us into the promised land. God will not leave us on the way. He will renew us. He will prepare us as a new generation to enter into the promised land. What a wonderful God we have. Jesus Christ is a symbol, symbolism of Joshua as well. After Moses had left, Joshua took up the mantle of leadership. Jesus Christ, when he came, he saw the people. He felt compassion towards them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He came down into this world and gave his life for his sheep. He gave his life for his sheep. And I think it's very important for us to thank the Lord from the book of Numbers. Now that we have concluded the book of Numbers, that I hope we have learned important spiritual principles that we can apply in our daily lives. That we need to be able to be prepared as a new generation to enter into the promised land. Everyone is counted, listing. Leadership, the laws, and the land. And with all of this, God is looking after those people, looking for those people who follow him fully. Can you make the commitment, my dear, to follow the Lord fully? How many times God needs to keep reminding us, hey, you're not following me. Following me. You're looking somewhere else. Follow me. Look unto me. Can you be like that? Can God give a testimony about you, just like he gave a testimony about Caleb and Joshua? The sequence was Caleb and Joshua. Caleb was the first. Though God used Joshua as the next leader, Caleb was the one who encouraged Joshua to become bold. To follow the Lord fully. May the Lord bless this word.